This message this morning was, Marilyn and I had stopped to see Doyce Cornett Monday afternoon. She is at home, still not doing well, and she still doesn't know what's causing her stomach pain. But she looked at me and she said, "Brother Randy," she says, "I watch a lot of TV preachers since I can't come to church." And she says, "There's this one preacher that I watched who said that God does not help you with your money problems, and God does not help you with your health problems. Is that true?" And I like to fell over. "Doyce, no, that is not true. God helps us with everything." And I asked her, I said, "Do you remember who that was?" And she says, "No, I sure can't remember his name. I'd have loved to find out his name. I'd have sent him a nasty email or something, because that is just not right. God helps us with all our needs." So I'm going to be reading Psalm 121 this morning. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore." Picture, if you will, two men at night walking along the edge of a steep cliff. One of them slips and falls over the side. It's dark, so he can't see where he fell. So his friend says, "Are you all right?" He hollers up, "Yes." "Are you hurt?" His friend hollers up, "No." "Well, how far did you fall?" "I don't know," came the voice from below. "I haven't hit the bottom yet." You ever been in a situation like that? Where things are just going awful for you, and you think, "Lord, when am I going to hit the bottom?" Things like that happen to us. Sometimes we get in situations where we just don't think we're ever going to stop falling. When is things going to turn around for us? Even people like Charles Spurgeon, as great an English preacher as he was, he had problems with depression from time to time. And on one occasion, he wrote to his congregation the reason that he couldn't fill the pulpit the previous Sunday. He said, "I am as a potter's vessel when it is utterly broken, useless, and laid aside. Nights of watching and days of weeping have been mine, but I hope the cloud is passing." And in the biography, the author that wrote the biography said, "What he suffered in those times of darkness, we may not know. Even his desperate calling on God brought no relief. There are dungeons," he said, "beneath the castles of despair." Imagine that. Dungeons underneath castles of despair. That's pretty bad. You get down into the pit of despair, and sometimes you think you can't even see the light. You wonder what is going to happen. Psalm 130 tells us, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." We feel that way sometimes. Things just don't seem to be going right. We get depressed. We have health problems. We wonder how we're going to pay our bills next week. Any number of things could cause us to be in that pit of despair, that dungeon beneath the castle of despair. And it's a tough place to be. And in our lives, we sometimes feel like we're climbing a hill and not making any progress and probably never going to get to the top. It's just tough. Life is hard. Comedian Red Buttons did a routine one time talking about his youth, about standing around a bare dinner table, and they're all wearing overcoats because they couldn't afford heat. And he said there was his mother dividing the half loaf of stale bread among a dozen kids who swept up and ate the crumbs. Then he adds, "Then came the depression." That's got to be pretty tough. And I'm sure he was exaggerating. But sometimes in some places things like that happen, severe things like that. President Nixon, former President Nixon, wrote a book called Six Crises. And he was at a book signing at a bookstore one time, and a young man walked up and asked him, would you autograph the book? And so President Nixon looked at him and said, what would you like me to put in the autograph? And the young man looked at him and said, well, Mr. President, you just met your seventh crisis. My name is Stanislaus Wojcicki. Can you imagine? I'm sure the young man had to spell that out for him. Sometimes things just happen, don't go our way. There's a baseball player from back in the 60s and 70s named Ron Hunt. Ron Hunt had a motto. He said, some people give their bodies to science, I give mine to baseball. And the reason he had that motto was, for seven consecutive seasons, he led the league as the most hit by major league pitches, wild pitches. He got hit by so many wild pitches, he holds the record. There was something like 243 pitched balls that hit that poor man. So he literally gave his body to baseball. And that's rough. Sometimes you wonder about that uphill climb. There was a despaired man who went to see his pastor one day, and he said, Pastor, my life is really in bad shape. The pastor looked at him and said, well, how bad? The man, burying his head in his hands, moaned, I'll tell you how bad. All I've got left is God. Well, at that, the pastor's face lit up. He looked at the young man. He said, I'm happy to assure you that a person with nothing left but God has more than enough for a great victory. You ever been there? You ever been in a situation where you felt you had nothing of value, you had nothing left but God? I would imagine most of us have been in those situations. I know a lot of people get themselves in that situation because they have a problem, and instead of going to God first, they try to fix it themselves, or try to get their friends to fix it, and it just doesn't work. And God becomes the last resort. And it really should be the other way around. You should be going to God first and seeing what He has to say about it, see what He can do about it, because God can fix anything. And that's where we need to be, where all we have is God. And that's actually a good thing. We feel helpless and hopeless sometimes. It's hard to take our eyes off of our problems. Our conflicts give us ulcers, cause us even more problems. They take away a lot of our attention. And we have to move our focus back towards God. God will give us that power and presence and peace that we seek. The city of Jerusalem, as you well know, is built on a hill. And that's one of the reasons why a bunch of the Psalms are written as songs of ascent. Because those were psalms that they sung while they were ascending to Jerusalem, climbing that hill in their pilgrimage to get to Jerusalem. So you know in the Bible when it says we went up to Jerusalem to worship, they're literally talking about going up to Jerusalem to worship. And they would sing these psalms to kind of give themselves encouragement so they could go up to Mount Zion and worship. Going back to Psalm 121, the first two verses, listen very closely. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And those first two verses were made to focus our attention on God, to focus our attention on God's power. Even though we sometimes wonder where our help's coming from, we have to know that God is there to help us through anything. contrary to what Doyce heard from the preacher on TV, God helps us with our financial problems. God helps us with our health problems. God helps us with any problem we have. All you have to do is trust and realize that being the maker of heaven and earth, He can do anything. He can fix anything. He can give us encouragement. He can lift you up. He can take away those doldrums, that depression, that despair. He can take all that away from you. Life is like a journey. Life is like climbing a hill. And sometimes we wonder why we're climbing that hill. When are we ever going to get to where we're going? We just have to trust. We have to let God give us the assurances that He's working on it. I know a lot of people, they'll pray and think, well, nothing's happening. God's not listening to me. God is listening to you. God always hears you, and God always answers prayers. It may not be the way you want it answered, but He always answers prayers, and He answers them in the best way to help us. But He's always there to help us and get us out of this situation that we're in. He causes things to happen in certain timely manner to let us know that, hey, I got this. I'm working on this. He does those things to reassure us. We just have to look for them. There's a pastor in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, who was taking communion to one of his shut-ins. And while he was there, he met the person who was taking care of this lady, keeping the house clean and giving her food and stuff. Her name was Santieri. She was a Cambodian refugee who had fled her country with nothing but a knapsack on her back and three little children. She lived in horrible conditions in a refugee camp in Laos for 4 years. When they were finally brought over to the United States, unfortunately, her sister passed away. So she wound up not only with her children, but her sister's children. So her and her husband and her children, her sister's children, were all living under one roof in this little house that really wasn't designed for that many people. Her and her husband wound up working two jobs each for 15 years trying to support all those children and take care of them. So this pastor got to talking to her about all those horrible things she went through and all the struggles that she went through. And he asked her, how did you find the strength and the courage to keep going? And she said, it was the power of God working through them. And that's what keeps us going. It's the power of God working through us. It takes care of us. It lifts us up. It provides for us. And it also helps us to take care of others. We had a sermon quite a while back about angels. Angels aren't always from heaven. Angels might be the neighbor next door. Angels might be that nurse at the clinic. Angels might be your friend up the street. God sends those people to you. That's how He provides for you. That's how He helps you sometimes to get out of that depression. He sends somebody to you to lift you up. Continuing on in Psalm 121, verse 3, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. That's how well He takes care of us. He shades us from the sun. He gives us rest at night. He doesn't allow us to slip and fall. Yes, sometimes we stumble a little bit, but He does not allow us to slip and fall. He's always there for us. 24/7, He is there for us. He's in our presence, and He's always watching out for us, our best interest. All we have to have is faith and trust and know that He's willing to do whatever it takes to help you in that situation. If you think about Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, in that play, Juliet discovers that Romeo is underneath the tower. Of course, he's taken a great risk to get there because this family feud that they're dealing with. And she asks him how he came and why he didn't stay away because of the danger and the risk involved. And he answers, "With love's light, wings did I o'er perch these walls, for stony limits cannot hold love out, and what love can do that dares love attempt." And if you take that and you put that analogy on God, you get a wonderful picture of a loving God who comes to us in any way necessary to comfort us, provide for us, to lift us up. He is able to do that. No matter what the risk we think is involved, He's able to do that. And if you've ever been in a depressed state or kind of worrisome state, whatever, you'll notice it's worse at night, because most of the time during the day you're busy and you're probably not thinking about it. But at night, when things get still and dark, you start to think about all those problems and it makes it worse. It distracts us. Job 35:10 says, "God is our maker, who gives songs in the night." He's there with us at night. He's there providing us light. Jesus tells us that He is the light in the darkness. He lights our way. He lifts us up with light, takes us from that darkness that we're in. Even Paul and Silas, when they were thrown in prison at night, God sent angels to break their shackles, swing the prison doors open, and potentially release them. They could have been free men. But they stayed and assured the guard that, "No, we're still here. Don't worry about it." But God helped them and in a way helped others, because the guard and his family became Christians after that. Things sometimes happen in a funny way that we don't really see when it happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And God does not sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's always there. Continuing at verse 7, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." He doesn't just watch out for us now. He watches out for our future. He keeps us on that straight path. He protects us from harm. He doesn't want to see us go through these situations. He does everything He can to keep that from happening. Still happens sometimes, and He knows that. But He's there to help you get out of it. God's made the promise to us that He's here for us both now and forever, always watching over us. Just like a parent watches over a child. Parents take such care of their children and try to protect them from harm and provide for their every need. And God is exactly the same way. He is like this huge cosmic parent watching out for His children, us, keeping us from harm, watching our comings and goings, and leading us in the direction He wants us to go. I'm sure all of you remember a book from about 30 years ago titled, "Are You My Mother?" Now think back about this book. This baby bird falls out of the nest and starts looking for its mother because its mother had flown off to get food. And he approaches all these different animals, kittens and dogs and cows and different animals, and he even approaches boats and airplanes and a steam shovel. asks every one of them, "Are you my mother?" He gets some funny responses, gets some rude responses. But finally, at this steam shovel, this huge piece of earth-moving equipment, somehow he winds up caught in the teeth of this shovel. And he thinks, this is the end. I'm not going to find my mother. But funnily enough, oddly enough, the steam shovel raises up and happens to deposit him back in the nest. Just about the time mom shows up with food. That's the kind of timing that God makes happen. You happen to be in the right place at the right time to take care of something that's going on. Everything seems to fall together. God has a plan. He knows us and we know him. Matthew 10. Jesus is assuring his disciples as he sends them out to spread the gospel. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." That's the kind of relationship God has with us. He has such an intimate relationship with us. He knows us so well, he can tell you how many hairs are in your head. That's how much he cares about you. And if he cares so much about little sparrows and flowers in the field and all these things, how much more does he care about you? Everything created was spoke into existence except for mankind. And he touched man. He formed man from the earth, breathed into man. He took a bone from man and created woman. He had his hands on mankind. He cares about us so much and wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for our needs, whatever that need may be. Songs of Ascent, the Psalms, is not just unique to Christianity. A lot of religions have similar situations. In China, for example, when they do their pilgrimage, there is a mountain called Taishan. There are 7,000 steps to its summit. And as you're going up these steps, your pilgrimage, you pass through the middle gate and then through heaven's southern gate, and you finally reach one of the most beautiful temples in all of China. It's called the Azure Cloud. And that's where they offer their worship to their God. So ascending to worship God is not unique. We ascend to worship God. We lift ourselves up out of the deep to worship God. We have to believe. And we have to trust. We have to know. I mean know. That God is there for us in every situation. So reading Psalm 121 again, listen very closely to everything it says. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your comings and goings, both now and forevermore." Amen.